Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I should Twitter this too.
You should do that.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is the Boop Show for Monday, October 19th. Nope, 9th. It's not the 19th. I'm Scott and that's Brian.
Woo! Hi!
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Boop Show. It's the 9th, not the 19th. Come on, Scott.
Yeah. Let's get it together. We haven't even met Friday the 13th for October yet. You don't want to pass that up.
Wayne, do we have the 13th this month? I didn't know that.
Yeah,
on a Friday?
Yeah, this month. This Friday.
That's scary, man.
What do you? Oh, I'm petrified.
I can tell. Right. It's really gotten under your skin and you're kind of just, you don't know what to do about this weekend.
I know. I'm thinking about having one of those Jason Voorhees marathons.
No.
How about that?
Yeah, that'd be cool. Would you take it all the way to 10? Is that the last one, or was it Jason versus Jimmy?
Yeah, you got to take it. You got to take it to 10, right? You got to at least go Jason X.
Yeah, Jason
right?
X is great. We saw that from film. So that is a poopy great movie. I enjoyed the hell out of that. Taking it to space. I think all good horror series of films should end up in space at some point.
Hellraiser, Alien. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what was the other one? The Halloween. Ooh, I would like to see Halloween.
Oh, Halloween in space. Yeah, sure. Why not? I mean, they took James Bond in space. Why not? Why not horror movies?
Right. Yeah. And it's William Shatner's face that they molded that after anyway, right? So I mean, he's already comfortable in space.
Oh, good point. Yeah. I'm not sure he's comfortable anywhere, but. That's neither here nor there. All right, so today's episode 150, and we're doing this live in front of an audience, which we don't normally have not done, but we're going to do this from now on. This is our new record time at 3:30 Mountain Time, Mondays in the afternoon. It's 5:30 Brian's time, so 5:30 Eastern for those on the East Coast.
All
and,
right.
Ooh, Chucky in space, that's a good idea.
Ooh, that's not what they said. They said Cucky in space.
Yeah, they did say right. Cucky in space, and Leprechaun in space isn't bad either. Critters in space, all of them, just put them all in space.
Yeah, Critters is definitely already in space, but it's a good question. Yeah, Critters is space.
Oh, that's right. Critters are from space. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, but Leprechaun, did they do a Leprechaun in space?
No.
I think they did one of those.
No. Did they?
I think they did.
Maybe they did.
Why not?
Well, and Catalube in the chat says Jason in space, but that's done. Jason X is in space. That is Jason in space. So
yeah,
go see Jason X, Friday the 13th, 10. It was the 10th film in the long-running, terrible film series. That started out kind of cool and got real dumb by the end. Anyway, hey, we're here. We're doing it. We're going to make a show, and there's nothing you can do about it. Episode 150, so it feels like a good day to start a fresh new schedule in terms of when this goes out. So, yeah, again, if you want to be here live and be a part of the chat room and hang out and talk and suggest your own horror movies you think should be put in space, do that at 3:30 Mountain Time every Monday at frogpants.tv. Okay. I spent a decent amount of time this week, Brian, playing SteamWorld Dig 2.
Oh, did it come out?
Yeah, it came out everywhere. I want to say every platform got it. Steam got it, Xbox, PlayStation, Switch, everything had it. I played it or decided to get it on the Switch, and I did that because I think that's the version you want. I'm gonna just put it out there that if I'm going to vote for a version... That's a good one. They're all good. That's a great game no matter where you play it. But I think that thing's really great kind of in a portable format.
Right. Makes sense.
I mean, the original SteamWorld Dig was a 3DS game, so it has its origins there. But being able to take that anywhere I want and just plop my butt in bed before I go to sleep and play that thing. Oh, it's good.
Where do you really play it at? I know you don't play it in the bed.
In bed. Yeah. I totally play it in bed. Sure. I mean, sometimes, like right now it's down here charging, so sometimes I'll just grab it. During lunch or something, that's cool. That's a thing to do.
You know, the thing about the Switch, to me, I didn't understand it until about a couple of months ago when I really started thinking about it. And I'm like, this is really more of a large personal handheld console because I'm used to purchasing things for the family. While family can play it, I feel like this is really like more of an individual user's device, is it not?
Well, I mean, I didn't send you video. Let me do that so you can see my ugly face and enjoy when I hold things up to the camera. So this is, there's SteamWorld Dig. Here's my little man.
Oh, that looks good.
It's a good game. He's in a little dungeony place right now, and that's cool. I mean, for those not familiar with the way SteamWorld Dig works, oh, the soundtrack's great too. I gotta turn this up. Listen to that. Oh, that's trippy. It's really good. Anyway, SteamWorld Dig is, the first one was like you're a little robot, and you, it's kind of a Metroidvania sort of game where you're doing Metroidvania kind of stuff, except I'm not working sideways, I'm working down. So I dig holes and I go deeper and deeper and deeper. And the deeper I get, the harder things are, the more difficult there is ore to find or whatever. The creatures are a little tougher to beat or whatever. And so my goal is to try to survive that stuff while getting to, you know, story goals and things that are happening in there. How I get there is kind of up to me. So I kind of dig my own way. And during that, you know, you're smacking creatures on the head and you're killing them and you're getting their, you know, whatever they drop. Sometimes it's ore, sometimes it's just life or whatever. You'll find minerals to ore or to mine, or not always minerals. Sometimes it's, you know, like gems and stuff like that. You collect this stuff. You have limited inventory. So once you've done collecting it, you can teleport through one of these tunnel things. It's almost like a bank tube. You put your stuff in.
Like a pneumatic tube.
Like a pneumatic tube. And it sucks you back up to the top to the surface. You sell all the crap you found. That pays for upgrades to your equipment, to items you already have, things you unlock later, whatever. Go now, back down and do it again.
Is this really, I'm looking at this, and the first one was really quest driven, and you had to meet certain characters along the way.
It's still true, yeah. I mean, it's not quests in that you've got a list to accomplish necessarily.
Not like
but
a goal.
Yeah, but like, you know, like Metroid or Castlevania, you're doing a thing and you realize, oh, I can't get past this. And then you'll run into some dude down there and you'll fight him and then you'll beat him. And before you kill him, he'll go, okay, I give up. Here's the thing you can use now to get rid of those bigger rocks.
Wait, I thought it was a cowboy theme thing.
It is. It totally is.
Oh, so how'd they really say it then?
They go beep, boop, beep, because no one actually uses English. It's all a bunch of weird, rusty sounds.
It is the gibberish, isn't it?
It's totally, I love the gibberish, but it's all, I mean, it's all obviously in English when it's, you know, subtitle or whatever, but, this game is much more, how do I put this? The first game felt a little like it was a flash game. Like technically it wasn't like blown away by it.
Right.
It was really fun. The loop of the gameplay was really good, but it looked kind of like somebody made it in Flash and somebody was real good at vector art and that sort of thing. And it didn't feel like a video game as much as it did a student project.
Right. This looks like it's got a lot more neon colors to it. It's a lot more vibrant.
Big time. Way more vibrant, way more animated, way more just smoother. Just a really nice video game. And I like their other game in between these two, SteamWorld Heist, which is set in the same universe. Mm-hmm. That's basically 2D XCOM in space. And it's fantastic. I love that game. I still play that game. But this is really good. It's a great sequel. I'm totally hooked on it. There's some nice quality of life improvements that make it not quite such a pain. It used to be if you died down there in the mines, whatever gold or ore you had on you was lost.
Yeah, you'd lose in your backpack, right? Your backpack would fall off and you'd zip at the top.
Yep, and you'd go up top and you'd take care of your stuff and you'd have to go back down. And I think you had to go find your stuff.
Yeah.
So it was like EverQuest, kind of. You just had to go, it was a kind of a shitty way to die. In this one, you lose some stuff, but you take most of what you gathered with you to the grave.
Good.
You go up there, you can still sell it. So there's still you get dinged because you died, but you don't feel like you have to go hunt that stuff down again. So
right.
That's really nice. Also, it used to be when you go up to the surface in the old game, you had to pay to get your health back to where it needed to be or something if you were hurt.
Repair your equipment.
Exactly. Yeah. In this game, you just go to the surface and that stuff just takes care of itself and then you go back down. It doesn't make the game any easier, really. It's still a challenging, sometimes difficult game. Like right now, I'm in the middle of a boss fight that's just kicking my butthole outside of itself. And so
your colon is
it's hanging
on
out.
The outside.
What do they call that? They call that a thing.
That's hemorrhoids is what it's called.
It's
when your
something
colon,
else.
When your colon tries to escape your body, that's exactly what it's called.
No, it's called chat room will know this. This is horrible.
Ex machina?
No. It's like it flopped it out. It's like if you flop it out. I haven't done that. I'm not saying I've done that. I'm prolapse. Right. Thank you, Knots, in the chat room.
A prolapse.
Yeah. Prolapse.
There's lots of words for when your colon tries to escape. There's hernia, there's hemorrhoids, there's prolapse.
I don't think hemorrhoids and hernia are full on colon is out, though.
Right.
I mean, true, this thing's like inside out, like a sock got pulled off your foot. All right, anyway, that's not the point. The point is, what is the point? The point is this game is really fun, and I really, really like it. So SteamWorld Dig, definitely a big draw for me this week. And I'm probably getting close to, I don't know how far I am or how long it goes, but I think I'm pretty far in, so I'm probably getting to where the story right. might be over.
We're praying for you, Cam.
Yeah. More Golf Story also on the Switch. A great little game. These two have been really fun to jump back and forth. They scratch two very different itches, so if I've kind of had my fill of one, it's fun to go check the other one out. And apparently there was a game-stopping bug in Golf Story.
I saw that.
Yeah, there's a part of this thing where you kind of get shrunk down, and you got to do a bunch of quests while you're shrunk, but then it wouldn't put you back is the bug. It's something like that. So you ended up just being a pixel for the whole game, and that's bad. So they're patching
that.
Says
you.
They say they're patching it, and that's good. All right, now the big one I wanted to talk about is one I just cracked open today. Battle Chasers. And someone in the chat room's already asking. The Classiest Nova just says, anyone rocking Battle Chasers Night War? The answer is yes. So I got a copy, courtesy of the developer. Big thanks to them for that.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was really nice. And I've been wanting to check it out. I also would like the Switch version of that, but that's not out yet. They're working on it. It's almost done. It was supposed to be out same time, but it got delayed for some reason. Anyway, Battle Chasers, I have it on the PC. It's available on Xbox and PlayStation as well. And Brian, you know, like a good old fashioned Final Fantasy 1 and 2 kind of era JRPG, you know, where you square up against a thing and you choose an ability and you go attack it, and then he has a turn.
This looks really pretty.
Yeah, it's really pretty. So, way into it.
Those monsters are bad.
Way into it. I think the reason I'm way into it is it doesn't try to be a modern JRPG. It's very rooted in the old school fun that you could have with those games, but even then they've improved it. So you know how I hate random battles? I can't stand it. You're running around an overworld and burp, and now you're in a fight you didn't want to have, right? Hate that. Same thing is true of, like, I don't like Pokemon for this reason. I don't like just running through the weeds and then suddenly I have to fight a thing.
I hate it.
I've always hated it. I can never stand it.
Sometimes I'll run around in circles to see if I can get a random. Where are you at? Come on.
I hate that. How can you stand that? That is terrible. It's all right. I'm not judging you. But here's the thing.
But I am.
I'm playing on a controller on the PC. I would recommend controller. Otherwise, you got to WASD that thing, and it's kind of weird. But anyway, it is great and feels very old school yet new school at the same time. The graphics and the sort of art style of this thing and the presentation, top freaking notch, beautiful, inspiring, awesome stuff. The animation is incredible. I can't say enough about all that. That stuff's really, really good. So far, the story's compelling and interesting. It's like an anime, but not. Like, it feels very inspired by those Japanese games, but so far I'm not running into characters where I'm like, oh my gosh, dude, freaking, there's the little perverted old man with a mustache. He's going to join our party now. And oh, look, there's a little orco dude who's now part of, they don't, that's not happening. I've got a big robot.
I always like the orco dude. It always makes me happy to see the orco dude.
You like the orco dude. You're right. You do. We've talked about this. And you've always had a fondness for the orco dude.
A very positive review so far. October the 3rd just came out.
Yeah.
Nice.
People are into it. Pretty universal praise for it. I haven't seen any bad reviews for it. Runs really well, really smooth. I have it running on maximum everything. Nothing slows down or looks weird. And the music's great. The voice acting is freaking over the top awesome. So good. It's real good so far. I'm not that deep in. I've unlocked, I'm probably characters are like level 4 or 5. I was going to say how you avoid random battles. And someone in the chat says, Scott, it's probably the reason you don't like slot machines. They're exactly right. I hate that. I hate it. That's why I don't gamble, really, because it's all that to me. Right. I just feel like my money could be spent elsewhere. But in this game, when you're in the overworld, you'll see when there's a monster you have to get past to go where you want to go. Right. So you choose when to fight. You're like, all right, well, I got to fight him. I got to get past. Or I want to go fight him because he's hiding a chest and he's got money in there. I'd like to go fight him for that. The choice is back in my hands, and that feels good.
Well, you can choose to run away most times in those games. You ever do
that? I hate that, though, because you got to wait for the whole thing to go, and then it like does like the spinning thing, and then now we're in battle mode, and now you gotta wait for everyone to finish their animation, and now I'm gonna try to flee, but that only has a percentage chance of getting out of there. I hate that. Hate it.
I'm okay with it because it reminds me of my days of Dungeons and Dragons.
I understand.
The DM was always throwing you into a random battle.
I get that, and that's true. Yes. If you have the wrong kind of DM, yes, that's true. But I like a more Western approach to encounters, but I like the JRPG turn-based and ability stuff. I always have liked that, but I don't like the encounter stuff. So this is the great meeting of those two things for me. So it's working really well that way. Currently, I'm exploring a big dungeon, and that's weirdly kind of Diablo, because there's kind of three phases. There's this overworld top-down thing where you're just a little tiny dude, and you're walking around the world, and you're doing encounters and checking out areas or whatever. And then if you go explore something like a cave, the whole thing switches to this much closer kind of Diablo-style view, three-quarter overhead view. And now you're actually going in there kind of Mario Paper style, hitting a thing before it hits you. That way, when you start the fight, he's stunned for a turn. But then you go into JRPG side mode, side-scroll mode, and then you do all your stuff. And you win, you get your loot, you get out, and you keep exploring. You open chests and all that. So you kind of have way up high, medium high, and then direct battle modes.
Have you gotten to this fishing mode?
I haven't done fishing yet, but I did find some worms for fishing. So
the fishing mode looks cool.
Yeah, there's all kinds of crafty, fishy, shitty stuff like that. I'm sure not shitty. I'm sure it's
great. I hope they quote you on that for their enthusiastic reviews.
I mean, it feels like a gift. It feels like it literally is, because they gave me a code, but the quality that's there feels special. It feels really good. So that's what all the hubbub's about. I think that's probably worthy of it. Battle Chasers on PC is where I'm playing it. And again, you can play that anywhere. And that I've been raiding in WoW again. That's abnormal. Nothing fancy to say there, except I'm having a good time in World of Warcraft with my raid team. Been back at it for working on a month now of raiding. So that's good. Took a little break there. Getting ready for BlizzCon. Maybe that's what's happening. I'm stoked for BlizzCon, so I'm playing a lot of WoW again.
I mean, you got to get into it. You got to be able to, talk the lingo when you get there.
That's right.
You can't.
It's absolutely true. What are you playing? You got something cool
going
on?
Gee, Scott, I don't know. Last we talked, I was waiting patiently for FedEx to arrive with my Super Nintendo Classic Edition Mini.
It showed up. I see it right here on the camera. There it is.
It did. It arrived last during the show last week. I wish the guy just come and told me. He's like, "Hey man, here's your game," but he didn't. So I picked this up. I had the first one as well, the first NES Classic, and this is a little bit of an improvement in design. One of my favorite things so far has been the fact that they actually gave you cable.
Yeah, because the
controller.
Yeah, the NES one was too short, right? It was like 3 feet or something. What is this thing? Six?
It was so short. Yeah, this is around, I don't know if it's quite six, maybe like five, four and a half, something like that. But it does remind you that I've been untethered for a very long time.
Yeah.
How long were the original cables?
Yeah.
Do you remember?
I want to say they were longer than that. Like 10,
I think
maybe.
They were two.
Yeah.
Because I remember my first Xbox, the Xbox Classic. I remember how long those cables were. And I'm like, I wasn't blown away then. So, I mean, I don't know. It seemed like it'd be longer than that.
Yeah.
But that since more of the Super NES was focused on the two player type of games, this comes with two controllers.
Yeah.
And so I played some Super Mario World and some, Super Mario Kart. We played me and my eldest. We played a lot of that.
I love how you describe that. You're like my mom. You went
right.
Super Mario Kart. Now
Super Mario.
That's
Kart.
Where Mario and his friends.
The reason why I had to say it like that is because this was the first Mario Kart.
Yeah, it was.
It was was the first one, and it doesn't play like the other ones do. Really, they kind of I didn't think it was any difference. I'm like, oh yeah, Super Mario Kart, the first one, has always been the same. They just update the graphics. No, it's odd the way the thing steers.
Well, it's because you had this old, what was that stuff called? Mode 7 graphic thing where you get the fake 3D and then
exactly
you just felt like you were sliding around like an ice table or something. It was weird.
Exactly what happened. You feel like you're sliding around an ice table. Do you remember those little little mini console arcade things that you used to could get, and it would have like the little car in the middle, and, oh, yeah. and have like the little track would like rotate in the background, yeah. just kind of peel through, and you'd just steer the car, and the car was always just, you know, on one plane. You just kind of going back and forth, back and forth. It kind of felt like that.
Sure.
And also, the power-ups, I'm so used to just picking them up as you go along in the cubes.
Yeah.
No, they're like on this flat plane. You just like, there's like only one spot, and it's on this flat plane, and it's like a tic-tac-toe layout of power-ups.
So it still has drifting. It just doesn't feel the same, right? Like you still use the shoulder buttons to like lock yourself into a little drift or whatever.
Yeah, and it's actually more important in a lot of the tracks, the way the tracks were built for the original. You were constantly running off the road and usually getting penalized heavily for running off the road, either by dying or just taking forever to get back on the track.
Well, you don't get the analog stick till the N64. So how does this play with the? I forget that we used to do all this with D pads. How's that kind of game with a D pad?
Let me tell you how it is. Look at these blisters.
Oh my lord!
They hurt. Yeah. The D pads are very painful. I'll tell you what though, this controller.
Yeah.
It is sexy. It is smooth. It is. I'm assuming it's just like the old one because it felt so familiar right away.
Yeah.
And I just like the finish of it. It is. This whole thing is quality.
Yeah.
If you can get your hands on this, and I they're supposed to be. If you haven't already got your hands on, they're supposed to be making more. Of course, I said that about the first one too, didn't they?
Yep.
But yeah. So good luck.
Yeah, I want one. So supposedly some fan bought extras and is going to sell them to me and Ibbot.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I may end up getting one after all. I really would like one, partly because, I've experimented with all kinds of stuff, and I have some ripoff Super NES controllers that are nowhere near that good. You know what I mean? Like, there's a solid state quality to the originals that is hard to compare. Like, probably the best controller Sony or Nintendo ever made in that era, certainly. And I also heard that the main box is heavy. Can you confirm that? Does it feel like it's a heavier deal?
No, it's actually just the opposite. You would think that. I thought the same thing too. I got my box and I picked up. I'm like, oh my God, this thing's a brick. What is in here?
Yeah.
It was a brick. but no, I got it out and I'm like, I pulled the console out and I'm like, well, that's not it. It's all in the controllers. I think they're weighted to for a better handling in your hands. I could be wrong, but all the weight is in these controllers.
Huh.
This is nothing. Okay. This is just a little thing, and it's got the little power button you slide up. And now, by the way, if you do get one of these, it's not intuitive to how to turn this on because you want to push the button.
Mm-hmm.
You can't push the button. You have to slide the button, and then you do a little reset. By the way, these little these little mini consoles they've been doing, Nintendo's been doing them. I love them because you had the save states on the games.
Yeah.
And you're just able to just stop right in the middle of the game and do what you want to do and come back to that save state.
So that game worked. So they all work like that on this one too, the NES one. You can turn it off, come back, and you're right where you were.
Right where you were.
All right.
I'll tell you what, but God tell you, man, games used to be a lot harder.
Oh yeah, no, they used to be way harder. Like everything on that console, I'm guessing, is harder than we all remember them being.
Totally.
Yep.
Like Super Punch Out. Oh my gosh, I remember like Super Punch Out. Like I'm like, oh yeah, it doesn't get hard until you get like four or five guys in. I beat the first guy, and it took me like almost an hour to beat the second guy, the guy with the beard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I couldn't figure it out. Each one of them has a pattern, and if you hit the guy with the beard, he just laughs at you, and he goes, and you go, son of a...
Yeah.
But it's hard.
It's not the one with the wire cage body. That was the arcade.
No, that was the arcade version. This is the next one you have. He's still the same color, and what he does is he drops down a transparency color, but no, he's not the wire. I actually enjoyed the wireframe. Yeah. I always liked that.
Now, some people are hacking these things. Are you going to hack it?
I saw where you could hack it. I don't see the point. I don't really see the point why I want to take something so pure and turn it into something that you could do with a million other devices. And I'm sure somebody could go, oh, but it's got the official Nintendo emulation in it. So I can, whatever.
It's like taking a bag of the best cocaine and making bread out of it. Why would you do
that? Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. By the way, it hooks up through HDMI, just two little cables in the back.
Yeah.
Has a little micro USB that you plug in for the power.
Just did micro USB for power. Interesting.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, this too. This thing, when you get it, you don't know what's going on because you're like, where do I plug it in at? I don't know if I just didn't look at the directions, but there's all kinds of ways to get into this thing.
Show me that up close. I want to see. Oh, okay.
So yeah. So just, remember the little porch used to be.
Yeah, they used to be on the outside. You jam them into the holes there. So this is just okay. I get it.
Right. So, but the controllers actually have the more recent Wii type connector.
Yeah.
So
yeah. I hate that. I wonder connector. If
this will hook up with my Wii.
Probably. I don't.
Oh,
know.
That'd be fun.
Probably.
Probably.
Get it? Because we.
I got it.
Yeah. Good job. The one game you're going to want to play and tell us about maybe next week is Star Fox 2.
That is the plan. Next week.
Yeah, that game never existed. So it was never released. So the fact that it's out is interesting to a lot of people. I want to hear what your take is on that. And when I get mine, of course, we'll talk about it.
My prediction is it's going to be a hot pile of poo.
Yeah, hot pile of poo. Here we come. All right, let's take a look at what's going on around the world of video games. Hulu's getting four new esports shows. Four new esports shows. This is the streaming service Hulu. They've ordered these things up from ESL. Head of production will be Barry Hennessy of Variety Sports. Do you know who that is?
I have no idea.
I haven't either. Hennessy's a beer or something, isn't it? Hennessy?
No. Is it? No. Yes. Sounds like we need Ibbit here.
Beer. Yeah, he's a beer guy. He knows what's up with beer. The Emmy award-winning producer is a veteran of reality shows such as The Amazing Race and Born This Way. What was Born This Way?
That was a show, right? Was it on Amazon?
Lady Gaga. She'd come out of an egg and...
That's it.
Let's go. Yeah. Ta-da! Okay, great. According to the ESL, the four programs will include the following. Player versus Player, a gamified debate show featuring both shoutcasters and influencers arguing with each other. For points.
Can't get enough of that.
Yeah, I don't know if I want this. The result, ESL said, would be an urgent, passionate conversation amongst signature esports personalities, connecting communities while also pitting them against each other. At the conclusion of the show, both sides will face off in a final challenge over a classic video game.
You know what the only problem I have is with esports?
Everything I just read? Keep going.
They all have that same chair.
Yeah, they do. They all have the BX Racer chair.
Yeah,
that's the one. I have a knockoff one over there, but it's kind of the same thing. Or it's all like yellow and black and sporty and race car looking.
I don't get it.
The people are into those, dude. They like that stuff.
They are.
I'm not saying you should get it. Oh, geez, why did that turn up? I'm not saying you should ever get one. I'm just saying, you know, people are into it.
I want one, but I just don't understand why everybody has one.
Yeah. It's like a vagina. I'd like one too. let's see. We've got another one called Boot Camp. It's a weekly series that will follow the Immortals esports team on their way to high profile Counter-Strike global offensive tournaments in Oakland, California. ESL said the series would give unprecedented access to the inner workings of a professional esports team with scrimmages, practice sessions at the team house as they formulate a new strategy and build team chemistry.
I'd watch that.
I will watch all of these. My biggest, I'm not sure I'm interested in the first one because just people arguing isn't interesting to me. But the boot camp thing's interesting. If they'll at least show, I want them to show all sides of this. It can't just be, here I am shooting in the game. Wee. I mean, I need it to be like controversial and embarrassing, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's what I need. I want the behind the scenes kind of reality kind of part of that. I'm with you. Like the arguing part, the debate show. A debate show is either, I don't know, they seem to fall short for me, especially with the how ESPN handles their regular sports stuff now with the debates, and they just are screaming at each other.
Yeah,
it's like watching. I don't know what it's like watching.
Yeah. Also, when they say influencers arguing with shoutcasters. I don't know, man. I like a good YouTuber and Twitch streamer as much as the next guy. I don't need to hear them yelling at each other, honestly. Mm-hmm. I'd rather focus on the games, honestly. So I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do there. That'll be interesting. And then the final one is called Defining Moments. It's a kind of news magazine. ESL says it will cover impactful moments in esports history, including trick shots and insane reflex skills, controversial moves and their impact on gaming history, or long-lasting rivalries and how they came to be. They may be stretching on that one a little bit.
I want to know what the controversial moves are.
Well, also, it's just ESL, so this won't include any Overwatch League. This won't have any Hearthstone stuff. This isn't going to have any StarCraft, any Heroes of the Storm, any of the Blizzard stuff. It won't have any of the Valve stuff except for Counter-Strike, because I don't think ESL, or maybe ESL does cover Dota. They may. But I don't know if they League. Maybe they do League of Legends. Anyway, I would like something. If they're going to do a show that's like, here's all about the cool things happening in esports, it'd be nice if they had all the esports to show and not just ESL stuff.
Right. Maybe this is a jumping off spot. I think the networks, Hulu, all these guys know there's something there. They just can't figure out how to package it just yet. Even on Twitter, like I was on Twitter earlier and they were, you know, they had that the live video feed they do from time to time.
Yep.
There was esports going on there today. Sure. So everybody's trying to get in on it.
Everyone likes their esports.
Yeah.
I like esports.
All right.
The last one they're going to do is called ESL Replay. It's a documentary style roundup of four major ESL tournaments created within 1 week of the live event. So in theory, that would be, I'm guessing this is going to, ESL's big stake in the game is a lot of Counter-Strike. So I would be shocked. Oh, there will be doing it too stuff. I take it back. So yeah, lots of Valve stuff. It looks like.
Oh, that's good. But that would be, it even says Dota 2, PUBG.
Yeah. PUBG, yeah. Maybe. I mean, whatever. PUBG has yet to prove itself as a viable esport, but I'm willing to give it a chance. I'll give it a chance.
I think if you had the right character,
yeah,
the right person, I think you could definitely make that fun.
All right. Well, let's see what happens. The future is now. Okay. What else we got going on today? Oh, I know. Telltale. Listen to this controversy. Telltale, famous for all the little adventure games there, and they got their Batman one that's out now that's being added upon. I played through the first version of that, or the first game before any DLC hit. I enjoyed it okay. I think I might be a little burned out on Telltale games a little bit.
It's fun, but it's just like anything else. Too much of it, they've had a lot of it.
Yeah, and you just turn left and you go left, and then the story happens, and then you push up twice and you live, maybe, or if you die, you do it again. And like, there's not really a lot for you to do, so it really depends heavily on the story and the look of it. And it's starting to feel a little stiff and stilted to me. So I don't know. We'll see what they do in the future. Right now, I think they're in a weird place. They need to update that stuff.
You know, lately Batman will do anything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh no, listen, Bruce Wayne, he's up. He's down to clown.
Yeah. Is he has like some financial troubles there,
yeah.
Bruce Wayne?
Yeah, because he's finally hitting rock bottom. He's going to lose the mansion.
he can't afford to pay Alfred anymore.
Yeah, Alfred's already working for a rival millionaire. It's the real bummer. Bummer, bummer. Anyway, Telltale's episodic Batman, The Enemy Within series launched earlier in the year. Its second episode landed this week and appears to feature a real-life image of an assassinated Russian ambassador.
What?
Yeah, this is kind of crazy. Andrei Karlov, sounds like a fake name. The Russian ambassador to Turkey was shot dead at point-blank range last December while giving a speech at the opening of an art gallery. Do you remember this? I remember seeing this. It was horrifying.
I remember it, yeah.
Yeah, it was bad. Graphic images of the diplomat and his assailant were reported at the time, one of which now appears to feature Telltale's game. In the game, his likeness is portrayed by a security guard implied dead amid a Gotham brokerage bank break-in.
Likeness, my butt. That is like...
It's dead on.
That's a picture of him.
Yeah, I'm going to see if I can show the chat room this.
By the way, graphic. By the way, it's weird because if you see the actual picture, they took it in a art gallery, right?
Yeah.
And so it's very sparse, and it looks like a scene set up in a movie. It doesn't look like real life.
Yeah, it's super weird. Like, there's that vault, big open vault. Can you kind of see that, chat? These aren't blow-upable images, unfortunately, but I'll zoom in.
The vault is in the actual game, and the one that may be shown or not, he's just, there's no blood. You can't see any blood anywhere, at least not from this shot.
Yeah.
And it's an interesting, surreal scene that I could just see a developer going, hey, look, that turned up in Google Image Search.
They totally did this. Like, there's no way that's not used. That is absolutely the same image of that guy laying down. That's horrifying,
I think they turned his face a little bit, but that is spot on.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that one bit. I'm not sure I'll be buying the other episodes. Not because of this. Whatever. This stuff happens in video games all the time. I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was great.
Yeah, I'm with you, right? I'm kind of on Telltale burnout right now, but it'll come back around.
It'll come around. It always comes around, right? Mm-hmm. Right. All right, let's talk about Halloween time in Overwatch. You know Overwatch, right? It's a good time.
I played that.
Yeah. They have new skins, and the Halloween thing starts tomorrow.
We're in October. It makes sense.
Last year was a big deal. People liked this and enjoyed it. The new Halloween skins feature Mei, Zenyatta, Symmetra, as well as the already aforeknown McCree. He's wearing, like, what's that dude that hunts vampires? Can't think of his name all of a sudden.
Wait.
Crab Hole Filibuster.
Crab Hole, that's it.
Yeah, it's Crab Hole Filibuster, the old vampire hunter. Can't think of his name. Chad will now say it. Van Helsing. There it is.
That's it, Van Helsing. Oh my gosh.
That's why we're doing this live now, so they can tell us when we screw up and get the names wrong. Yeah, Van Wilder.
Van Wilder. Can you believe that was Deadpool? I mean,
yeah, no, it's crazy, right?
Yeah.
He was that. Wait, was he? Oh, Van Wilder, yeah. I'm thinking Van Helsing.
Yeah, did you ever see it?
Yeah, I did. A long time ago. Yeah. It was one of those what do you call it?
National Lampoon.
National Lampoon, yeah.
Yeah.
I almost called it American Shampoo. What is wrong with me?
Yeah, American Shampoo. That's because you're getting Wet Hot American Summer confused with your National Lampoon.
There
because
it is. Yep, they're very similar. They're close.
Yeah.
In fact, you could say that Wet Hot American Summer and its TV spinoffs are kind of the successor to the National Lampoon thing.
Do we really want to talk about
Wet Hot American Summer? I didn't like
because
that movie.
We get in trouble when we talk about that.
I know. I didn't like that movie. I like the TV shows, though, by the way, everybody. So calm down. I like half of it, all right? So stop.
Slow down now.
Anyway, so these are coming out. Last year, did you play this, the Junkenstein stuff? I don't think you did.
No, I had not picked up Overwatch. Remember, I waited exactly 1 year for the 1 year anniversary before I picked it up, so I missed out last year. Not this year.
Yeah, you're going to love this then. The skins, which appear in various adverts on social media posts, have been collected by Reddit. This all showed up via PC Gamer. Mei will be getting a skin based on Yangshi, a hopping vampire from Chinese folklore and legend. Zenyatta's skin is based on H.P. Lovecraft's Cthulhu. Finally, Symmetra is getting a skin that gives her a fiery demon look with scales. She looks like some kind of Diablo thing. The Halloween Terror event is scheduled to begin on Tuesday, October 10th, and will continue all the way till, I want to say, November, the week of BlizzCon, I believe.
Why would I be more excited if this was released on Friday the 13th? Why?
Because you're weird that way, and you like things that match up with your idea of what's cool.
I guess so.
Something like that. And then finally, the SNES Classic has been hacked. Already.
What?
I know you're not surprised, because I'm not either. We shouldn't be surprised when this sort of thing happens, right?
Right.
The SNES Classic has been hacked. They've been busy since the moment it got released, and now it's possible to go get in there and get it happening. You can also add other games to it. So if you didn't get ActRaiser, let's say, because it doesn't come with it, you want to put it on there, you can. I'm not saying you should, everybody. You're gonna void your warranty. You're also going
if this thing broke, you're just screwed.
Yeah, and if you brick it, you're done. And it's going to be hard to get more of them. So not a simple process, although it got simpler. Hackchi 2 is the name of the tool,
That's a great name.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's also been updated already. So if you want to go try that, supposedly it's easier now.
But what's the use in that? I mean, what you can add a few more? They really included all the best games.
The only reason I could think that you'd ever want to hack this thing is to get Star Fox 2 out of there. That's it. Because everything else you can get other ways. If you're already cheating and hacking, then you've already got a Raspberry Pi freaking thing set up with every game you could ever want, plus 300 more. Why would you even bother?
I'm trying to figure out what they're trying to load on here, because these are all of my favorites. I'm sure I'm missing one. Somebody's going to say it in a minute in the chat.
No, you have to be. You got to be missing something you really want on there.
I never played Earthbound. I had never played it until I was messing around. When you turn this on, you can leave it in demo mode, and it'll just play. And I like doing that. Just leave it on the TV and let it play through the demos of the games. And this one game came up called Earthbound. I don't remember it from back in the day, but it's
Earthbound was huge. People love that game. They always wanted a sequel, and it never happened.
Oh, it was fun. I played it a pretty good bit this past week. I didn't get very far, but it was an interesting take. It was different than all the rest of the games.
The kid in that game that you roll around with, what's his name? Do you remember?
Not that it matters. Fatty McGee.
Yeah, Fatty McGee. When you're running around with Fatty McGee, He's in the Smash Brothers games. So,
is he?
Yeah, so they have, you know, they have these homages to that game, but there was this long, I don't know if it came out in Japan or not, but there was this like long desired thing. Oh, Mother 3 it was called, yeah, and it never happened. Oh, it did happen? Where did it happen?
Okay. Why did it happen?
Did it? Yeah, Ness is his name. Did it happen in Japan? Because I don't think we ever got it.
No. I'll tell you, it kind of reminds me the way it looks. At first I thought, what is this game? It looks like Super Paperboy or something. I was like, what is this? And it's just a lot of fun. What is that stupid game that just came out a couple years ago, this kind of based in Halloween?
Oh, no, I know what you mean. It's called, hold on.
Little kids and everything.
Oh, shit. Yeah, you have Costume Quest.
Yeah, Costume Quest. Yeah. It reminded me of that. Definitely, I think that was where they probably maybe got some of their inspiration.
Yeah, Chandler confirms what I thought. Mother 3 did not, which was the sequel, did not make it to the States, but it was in Japan, and it was huge there. So, there you go. I remember
people Mother just, was huge in Japan.
They just never, and they, I mean, the first, the Earthbound thing must have never really sold here well. Must not have, because if it would have, why wouldn't they do a sequel and bring it to the States? So, usually that's a bad sign for sales, but people see them as beloved classics.
I like it.
Yeah. So I guess hack your thing if you want. I don't know. You're all a bunch of weirdos if you do, though. I think that's really strange. I don't know why.
And if you do and you have a good reason, let me know why, because I can't think of a good reason. I mean, it's already pretty freaking sweet.
Yeah. Boopshow@gmail.com. Speaking of which, we're going to read a couple emails here that we got at boopshow@gmail.com. This one comes from Andy W., who says, "Hey, Scott and Brian, I really enjoy the show." Well, thank you, Andy. "I played WoW way back in the day. Not so much now. When it comes to Blizzard titles these days, I'm into Diablo 3 and Overwatch, and I started playing Hearthstone now and then. I'm really wanting a fresh new MMORPG from Blizzard. Any thoughts on when or if we could ever get a World of StarCraft? Thanks, fellas." Boop. So, you got to remember a couple of quick recent events. They were working on a next-generation MMO that was very ambitious, and it was called, or at least codenamed, Titan. And Titan had many years and about $150 million of development in it, and they canceled it because they didn't think they were finding enough fun in it. Not something Blizzard does often, but they have been known to do it before. That was a big one, though, and a scary, you know, thing. However, from its ashes, they scavenged it and made Overwatch from it. So the world you were going to get was very much like Overwatch. It was probably some sort of shooter. It was more of an RPG, obviously. And, you know, characters like, I don't know, Winston and Soldier 76 and May or whatever, they would have been like hero characters that you would interact with and do jobs for and that sort of thing. But again, this is all theory. Who knows? The point is, well, actually, I know a couple things, but I'm not allowed to say. The point is this. That game came, died, went away. Overwatch is already $1 billion+ revenue game, so they well made up their $150 million. That's not even a loss for them. That's pocket change. So they did really well with that, and off they go. And that's great. They have the shooter now, and people love it.
And 20 years from now, you'll get a Blizzard classic, and it'll be included with the box.
Probably. But here's my thinking. Blizzard classic. That'd be cool. It'd have to be shaped like Thrall's face or something. You know? Something iconic. Anyway, like a siege tank. And when you turn it on, it goes juk, 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 and goes into siege mode. And he would go, "Siege tank ready!" Or whatever he'd say. So World of StarCraft is not beyond the pale in terms of possibility, but I just don't see him doing it. I want them to do what you're asking. Like, literally what you're saying would be amazing to me. And hell, I'd play Warcraft reskinned as StarCraft. Like, that's how excited I get about it. But they've not said a word about it. I know there's a lot of other development happening there that's secretive right now. We know one of the projects we talked about last week will probably be an MMORTS for mobile, because they let a job listing leak about that. But that's just one of the many secret incubation projects they're working on over there. So who the heck knows? But I don't think they're in any rush to get the next MMO out to market, because WoW is doing fine. That thing is a big revenue-generating thing, and Legion did very well for them. So I don't think they're in any rush. But I'm with you, Andy. I understand your desires. They are just, okay? You have just desires.
Are just.
Yeah. We got one more here from, who's this? Who's this person? This person here is Planks, or P-L-A-N-X. How would you say this? Planks? Oh, Planks. P-L-A-N-X-S.
Planks.
Yeah, he's just misspelling Planks. I like that. Says, my Steam account thinks I only like racing games. Do you guys have this problem? All right.
Mine thinks all I like is dungeon crawlers.
Okay, so this... So, all right. I am sure there's some algorithmic thing going on with Valve where they... Because this happens to me, but it's all 8-bit looking roguelikes.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I buy a lot of those. I like those. I do like them. So I understand why they're trying to push them on me, but they don't show me anything else now. It's like, it's, I don't think it's working the way they meant it to be, because I like all kinds of genres, and all they're showing me are small indie dungeon crawlers.
Right,
And as much as I love those, and I do.
I think you can get in there and you can fiddle, and there's ways to manipulate it to show you what you want. But is it the idea to make it just, you know, fit?
Well, is it? Is it? I don't know.
It's supposed to just fit. It's just supposed to work. They usually give me some pretty good suggestions, but you're right. And it may just be because I'm so focused with certain types of games that they only offer me those games.
They only show you demos? That'd be pretty funny.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, because Brian only likes demos, as we know.
Are you interested in spending no money today? Here's a demo.
Would you like to not pay a dime? We got you covered. So yeah, Planks, whatever how you say your name. You're not wrong. I think it's probably weighted towards what you're usually playing or looking at. Probably some combination of those things.
I think it's looking at, because I have a variety of games in my library, but I do tend to look at a lot of roguelikes and dungeon crawlers, 8-bit, kind of like what you do, same way.
Sure. I got Battle Chasers, by the way, on Good Old Games. That's where the code was.
What?
I like that service. It's good. It's nice. DRM free, and they got good deals all the time. They have old stuff that works still, and you know, it's cool.
Yeah, I usually keep Good Old Games client installed so that I can go through my little library, because they got that little wooden shelf thing with your little game boxes on it. Mm-hmm. Do you use that, or you just download the games?
I just I usually use their launcher. I mean, I know you can download them and run them like normal. I kind of think that sucks. That's a step backwards. But I think the fact that they're letting people do that means that they're trying not to be Steam. They're saying, look, it's DRM free. You can install it the old way, or we'll help manage that. Like, they're really giving the player the control, and I like that. I think that's good.
I don't know if I like installing the old way, but yeah, they totally give you that option.
Yeah, the old way is dumb. That's a dumb thing to do.
By the way, Zach in the chat room told me why I should be interested in hacking my Super NES Mini.
Porn.
Classic.
Oh, not porn?
Porn, absolutely. Okay. 8-bit porn.
Great.
No, this Tristan Cooper on the Twitter, he says he's loading up, and he's got all these licensed games like Shrek and the B-movie and that kind of stuff. I'm still not convinced.
Wait, Shrek and the B-movie?
Yeah, so you know all the licensed stuff, you know, the DreamWorks and Disney stuff that I guess they couldn't include with the machine.
Oh, I see. Okay. So like I was saying earlier, you can get ActRaiser that way or some other game that you think should be on there. I understand that. But if you've already got yourself a Raspberry Pi thing, then why would you even bother? You've already got these 21 games plus a million more. The only one you don't have is Fox 2, and you're going to have that in 10 minutes if you're a pirate anyway. So I don't know. I want it because I want the Nintendo hardware. I want the commemorative thing. I want the thing.
Zach says we've been memed. Oh. It was a solid joke.
Oh, it was all. Oh, he memed us just now. You memed us, Jack.
How meme is that?
You jack hole. All right, that's going to do it for the show. Big thanks everybody for your emails. Boopshow@gmail.com. That's boopshow@gmail.com. If you'd like to check out the website, we're at frogpants.com/boop. That's frogpants.com/BOOP. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, we're at Boop Show. Brian's at The Brian Dunaway. I can be found at Scott Johnson. And that's going to do it for this episode of The Boop Show. Until next week, stay out of trouble. Eat your food. We'll talk to you then.
I'm pressing A.
Bye. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.